Like, do you want to just skip the preamble and just fucking do this? Because we're just talking about the game.
Yeah, let's do it.
Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's most dangerous Tottenham Hotspur podcast. It's Wheeler Dealer Radio. I'm your host, Greg. And to talk about a very special Tottenham Hotspur match against Manchester City, I am joined by two out of our three regular panelists. Brian couldn't be here with us today. I think he's too busy celebrating television and what it's done for Tottenham Hotspur. But I am joined by Ben and Rob, and we are here to talk about VAR. Guys, is VAR the best invention in the history of football, or the greatest invention in the history of football?
I think it's the greatest invention in the history of technology.
I can't argue with that. I mean, what else helps referees make perfect decisions that are 100% accurate?
Well, I'd just like to point you to an article written on April 28th and on Yahoo News. And I quote, City rose back to the top of the EPL on a Sergio Aguero second-half tally that crossed the goal line by this much. The official word is that the ball crossed the line by 29.51 millimeters, or 1.15 inches. Goal line technology confirmed that it indeed had. Without the technology, the assistant referee would have had a near impossible decision to make from the sideline. Too long didn't read. Manchester City won the league last year thanks to technology.
You know,
what are
really,
we all doing here?
I think, you know, what's really been lost in this is just what a hero Pep Guardiola is, you know. I mean, just standing there on the sideline so stoically, not moralizing about, you know, how his team deserved something that they didn't. Just, you know, I mean, what a hero, what a guy. I mean, aren't you guys happy to see Pep Guardiola get the credit that he so richly deserves?
I mean, I just have to applaud the good fight that he fought after a debacle in last year's Champions League.
You're talking about with Sergio Aguero, right? The fight he fought with Sergio Aguero?
Oh, no, that was a different fight. Also a very noble, valiant effort. But the fight he fought after a goal was scored against his side that may have skimmed off of someone's arm before going into the back of the net and eliminating them from the Champions League in the semifinals, Pep Guardiola championed this idea that any goal scored using the assistance of a hand in the buildup of that goal should be rightfully ruled out by the video assistant referee. And now he has finally seen the fruits of that hard-fought battle finally pay off. And I think, you know, you have to give credit to such a noble warrior fighting for what he believes in.
Yeah, and you know, it's we often hear about how Pep Guardiola has enriched the world of football and changed the way we watch the sport, but you don't. It's really, truly an honor to see it happen live before your two eyes. You know, just watch how he has positively affected the sport of football. Really, you know, FIFA talks about football for all, but Pep Guardiola really lives football for all. He really does bring justice to this game. It's really inspiring.
And just think about how little time he has to devote to football when he spends the rest of his day shitposting about the 1619 project.
We are, of course, referring to Pep Guardiola's well-known love of African, of footballers of African descent, who, you know, he definitely, definitely doesn't have any sort of a problem with. But anyway, we're getting away from what we really deserves to be talked about today, besides Pep Guardiola, which is VAR. VAR, again, this is maybe one of the most ugly performances I've seen Spurs have under Mauricio Pochettino, and I don't think I've ever... there are not many games under Mauricio Pochettino where I felt better than I did at the end of this game, because that was funny as shit. It was hilarious. I was laughing on the couch, and my wife was looking at me like I was having a stroke. It was so fucking funny. I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, it was a hard-fought, comprehensive draw that we earned through no outside assistance. And, you know, you just have to respect the fight of all of these players.
You know, I do want to say up front, because we are going to talk a lot about this game. There is certainly some players on the team, not you, Christian Eriksen, but some players on this team deserve credit for pushing through and really engaging as a heroic defending and gutting out a very bad game and somehow managing to dig a result out of it. And I think that is a mentality that, you know, we are quick to write off and dismiss, and it doesn't deserve all the credit, and it doesn't deserve a ton of conversation, but it does deserve a little tiny bit of credit. And I think that team under that barrage was able to hold it together with such poor tactics is a credit to those players, and they should be applauded for that. But who we should really applaud are television sets and Hugo Lloris for just a tremendous reaction when he found out what was going on from the referee. That might be the best part of our entire season. We could win the treble, and I would still think that was the best part of our fucking season. Hugo's shitty grin when the referee told him there was a handball.
You should get that face tattooed on your back.
I really should. I should get that face tattooed on my face, like over my face. Not on like my cheek or anything, but just like over my entire face. Like if you use with glow-in-the-dark ink so you can only see it when the lights go out or something. Like, it really was incredible.
I mean, would your wife really complain?
I mean, she's looking for a reason to divorce me already, so, you know, she would probably welcome it.
Look, if Greg got tattooed to look like Hugo Lloris, his wife would be ecstatic.
Insane.
Like,
clear improvement.
Let's talk about the really good part of the game, which was far... Rob, what was your reaction when you realized what was going on? Because it was a good, Gabriel Jesus finished a fairly extensive celebration with the crowd before anyone realized what the fuck was going on. I think it was at least a full minute. I mean, what was your reaction when you realized what had happened?
So, as some of us are wont to do during matches, I was tweeting along and getting bitterer and bitterer and angrier and getting funnier and funnier. And I do recall saying something along the lines of, all this is missing is a VAR at the end. And I'm sitting there and the goal is scored. And first reaction, of course, is, wow, you know, I can't believe we're going to lose this game. And then second reaction, the back of my mind was, they wouldn't do it again, would they?
Oh, but they would.
They would. Wait a second. It was you know, that sequence of pictures of Vince McMahon making different faces.
I do know that sequence.
As he realizes what's happening. So you know, disbelief and then a lot of laughter. Just laughter. And when you're sitting at home by yourself in the dark watching something and laughing at it hysterically, probably looks pretty creepy. But... I mean, how else can you react to that?
I mean, Ben, that was like an incredibly... I understand we are probably playing the best team in the world, and it was an incredibly frustrating game, but it was... I don't know. I was totally just on fucking cloud nine after that shit. It was funny as hell, and nothing could bring me down after we barred them out of another 3 points. I mean, it was incredible, right? Even in the context of the game we just watched.
I mean, you know, the whole glory of that game was just utter shithousery as we had a rearguard in action for 90 minutes. And so there is nothing more shithousing than letting Man City score in the last minute, which we definitely did. We just, you know, we conceded that corner kick deliberately and gave them that opportunity to score because we knew that VAR would come to our rescue.
So Danny Rose didn't miscommunicate with Hugo. They were just like, watch this.
No, everybody thought we didn't sign anybody for 500 days. And Daniel Levy is sitting there in the director's box knowing that he signed maybe the best player in the Premier League to a quiet contract that nobody knew about. And VAR is on our side.
Just buying up television sets all over London for like 2 years. Just constantly buying them. One of these is going to pay off. It was, what I think has been really funny, getting past... Okay, the other thing I think is really funny, because the inherent thing is extremely funny. But it's just any British journalist with a podcast or a Twitter account has just been filling their fucking diaper over this about, oh, it's a problem. Oh, it's like, you know, we got it. It's ruining the game. All this other shit. Like, how is it doing that? Like, now, don't get me wrong. I understand if you're a Man City fan and you're incredibly fucking angry about this. If I was a Spurs fan, if this happened to Spurs, I would be extremely irritated.
You said it right the first.
Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you. But if this had happened to Spurs, I would be incredibly fucking angry about it. But at the same time, just like the VAR that worked out for us in the Champions League quarterfinals, it was entirely correct. It was 1,000% accurate. It was not within the rules of the game. Now, if you want to talk about this dumb fucking handball rule, then, like, okay, we could have that conversation. But the fact of the matter is VAR got it 100% right. And if, like, I keep hearing these people bitching about, oh, it's taking the emotion out of the game. I don't know. I had a lot of great fucking emotions when that fucking happened. Like, I had a lot of great emotions when that happened in the quarterfinals. And if it happened the other way around, I would have had some not-so-great emotions. But emotional is not something that I would... It is definitely a description that I would choose to use on myself after these two VR things. I don't understand why everyone's filling their diaper about this. It's fine. Maybe you need to tweak how it's, like, used, but it is fine. It got everything right, and considering that two major games hinged on this, I don't see what the fucking problem is.
Also, I mean, imagine filling your diaper on behalf of Manchester City.
Yes, exactly. Oh, Gabriel Jesus didn't get to fully enjoy his celebration. Who fucking cares?
Oh, and then we'll all go to bed and are on top of a pile of money surrounded by many beautiful women. And no financial fair play penalties.
And lots of knitted shirts with really big collars.
And tons of steroids.
Lots and lots. I mean, look.
Allegedly.
I'm going to take this back down to earth. Because the reality is the rule is fucking stupid. Like, that's a dumb rule.
The rule and might be stupid, but...
Yes.
But VAR is stupid because it gives you an exacting application of a dumb rule. Whereas normally you might have a dumb rule that is applied subjectively by a referee, you know, based on what the human eye can see in the moment. And, like, let's be real, that handball was minor.
Against the rules of the game, Ben, we are here for fair play here on Wheeler Deal.
Look, I don't care. It was the best thing that's obviously ever happened in soccer, and it should happen every week Man City plays. However, like, I get people being mad about it. Like, it's all kind of dumb.
I get mad about the offsides rule. Like, don't get mad about VAR. Like, it got it right.
Well,
like,
it's handballs. There's nothing to do with offsides.
Handball. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, handball. But get mad at that. Because what I was about to say, the reason I got mixed up was, like, look at the quarterfinal. Like, that's where VAR is, like, fucking great. Because Sergio Aguero was offsides for that. And, yes, it was a hair, but who gives a shit? Like, you know, referees do call that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just all kind of dumb, and it's not necessarily bad dumb, but it's definitely dumb. I think we can all agree that the rules of soccer are stupid, and when they're applied to the letter of the rule, you look at it at least half the time, and you go, really? That's the rule? Okay.
But it ruled in our favor, so...
Yeah, so it's amazing. It's the best thing that ever happened, obviously.
Wonderful.
It's really fucking funny. It's really fucking funny.
I would say, generally speaking, the rule is dumb and VAR enhances the application of dumb rules. However, in this particular moment, it could not have been more right. Justice prevailed, and the good guys walked away with a point.
A well-earned point.
Oh.
It
was.
Well-fought, well-deserved.
What was more silly about this game? Was it the fact that dumb rule got applied by, like, the referees at the last second with VAR, and we all had a great laugh about it, is the fact that somehow, some way, in that stupid fucking game, we got two goals.
Yeah, so let's talk about the actual game. We got outshot 30-3 and walked away with a 2-2 draw.
Two shots on target, two goals.
There was not a lot of time in that match. Like, there were maybe, like, two extremely brief periods in each half where it did not feel like we were really under it. Like, there was a brief period when it was tied up, in, like, I want to say, like, the earlier mid-80s, where they felt like, ooh, maybe Spurs could, like, smash and grab here and steal a win. But most of that game, we were, I mean, I've seen Spurs play Barcelona, I've seen Spurs play Real Madrid, when we were much worse teams, and I don't remember many games where we've been that under attack. Maybe some of those, like, AVB capitulations to Liverpool, but it was not good. It was really not good.
I mean, we got our asses kicked for 90 minutes. I mean, the two goals we scored were as lucky as any goals we'll score all season.
Well, not the first one. That was a nice move. I mean, that wasn't like a corner.
I mean, again, to get that goal where Ndombele plays in Lamella, and then he, you know, jukes a guy and hits one in from like 25 yards. That's still a very fortunate chance, even though everybody did well leading up to it, and it was a nice strike and whatever. Like, again, those are not the chances that you should rely on to score a goal against Manchester City. Like, it happened to work, and it was very nice.
But like City had like a half dozen chances better than that that they didn't score on. Which I think gets to your point. Like,
right.
The fact that that was like their one chance, so of course they scored.
Well, the funny thing is, I feel like City just didn't put away the easy ones, with the exception of the goal that got disallowed. And they were scoring, at least their two goals, I thought were reasonably difficult goals to score. Or at least, like, low likelihood goals to score. And those are the ones they actually put away. But, I mean, you deal with players as good as City's players, and that's the kind of shit that happens. But I don't know. I saw De Bruyne whining after the game about how much better they were. It's like, all right, we'll go score some more fucking goals, dickhead. Like,
I mean, look, we played this game a million times against Burnley and West Brom.
Yes, yes. Whatever. It's really funny being on the other side of it.
And, you know, I don't love being the Burnley in this scenario, but I kind of love being the Burnley in this scenario.
Yeah, it works out real well if you walk away with a point.
So let's start this conversation. I know we have a reputation on this podcast for being a little negative sometimes, but I don't want to get too entrenched in that, because at the end of the day, and I want to preface everything we talk about with this game, because I think Pochettino is going to come in for a lot of criticism on the rest of this podcast, but this is still Manchester City. They are probably the best team in the world. They are certainly one of the best teams in the world. Getting it right against City is hard, even if you get it right against City. So keeping that in mind. But I want to start on a more positive note. Rob, who was your man of the match? Hopefully I'm starting on a positive note here.
Other than VAR?
Yeah, okay. Other than the perfect man of the match. Like, who? What human being on Tottenham Hotspur is your man of the match? Because I think there were a couple decent performances in this match. Even if we're grading on a curve.
Okay, well, if we're starting on a positive note, maybe asking me the question is the wrong direction.
Ben,
to go, but
Ben, like, who's your man of the match? And we'll come back to you, Rob.
Kevin De Bruyne, I think, easily.
Yeah.
Just ran the show in midfield.
Missing enough of his chances to keep us in it.
No, I mean, look, we were shit. We were utterly shit. I mean, Pochettino set this team up wrong from the get-go.
Before we get there, we're going to get there in a second. Don't worry. You didn't think there were any positive performances to really focus on coming out of this match?
No. I mean, look, I was encouraged by Kyle Walker.
Okay, that's where I was trying to go with this. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, like, let's be real. Like, Raheem Sterling still took fucking 6 shots in that game. You know, I think Kyle Walker-Peters did a pretty good job defending him one-on-one. He was decent in transition and the few opportunities we had to make that a reality. But, you know, even he got his ass beat pretty handily.
No, but I thought what was impressive about that was the fact that he got his ass beat by Sterling in the way that I would just sort of generally expect from a Premier League right back. I was expecting a bloodbath between him and Sterling. And I thought he acquitted himself okay. Still a lot of problems, still a lot of naivete that he needs to sort of work on as he becomes more seasoned. But the fact that he just didn't get absolutely, like, completely murdered the way he did against, like, at the beginning of that Barcelona game, I thought was, I mean, again, this is maybe not the highest bar we should have for this kid, but I was extremely encouraged by his performance in this game. And maybe I'm seeing what I want to see there, but I still thought it was worthy of praise and a positive you could take out of this match. Maybe the only non-VAR-related positive, but still.
Yeah, I mean, it was, again, it was a very contextual positive. Like, we set ourselves up to let Man City attack us as much as we want. They wanted, and they did, and they took a fuckload of shots, and we were lucky to weather the storm. And in that context, Kyle Walker-Peters made some good defensive plays and doesn't look wholly incapable of playing right back on a Premier League side. But we did not
set him up to succeed because...
No, not even slightly.
I mean, I don't know what the fuck Pochettino was... I'm very sympathetic to the idea that you have a game plan against... Like, the general you. I'm not speaking about this game in particular. You have a game plan against Manchester City, and it just doesn't work because City is City and Guardiola is Guardiola. But, like, I don't even know what we were trying to do, and it didn't make any sense to me. You know, a bunch of guys who are really good on the ball and not, you know, and just ceding possession to City. Like, we left more on the bench, so it's not like we were trying to hit them on fast counters. Or if we were, it didn't make any fucking sense.
Right, that's the thing. It's like, we set up this team in two deep banks of four to try and defend deep, even though we put out a lineup of guys who are very good pressers, guys like Eric Lamella and Sissoko and Eriksen. You know, those are guys that you would expect to be on the front foot pressing them high up the pitch. And instead, we retreated very, very deeply and defended in two banks of four, which nobody looked equipped to handle. I mean, again, we played Eriksen and Sissoko as essentially like wingers in a 4-4-2 and asked them to just defend the wide areas.
We weren't even pressing high. Like, that's...
No, we weren't pressing at all. We were retreated very deeply and allowed their fullbacks to come onto us and expected Eriksen and Sissoko to do one-on-one defending in our own half, which is not what they're good at. And we just let them take shot after shot after shot. And, you know, I think the back line did a decent job. Out of 30 shots, we blocked 12 of them, which is like a pretty decent last-ditch rearguard action kind of numbers. But it was still a terrible, dumb decision that, you know, undermined most of the players that we put out there.
It was just frustrating because it seemed like you said, we're setting up for this deep rear guard action. And, you know, if we'd thrown, like, and again, I don't know who's healthy, but if we'd thrown on, like, Dyer and, I guess he's the only other guy we could have thrown on, but, like, if we'd, like, play some defensive guys in the midfield, if we put Vertonghen in midfield or something like that, like, you know, all right, maybe I don't agree with that, but I could see what he's doing. We put all these pressers on, and it's not even like we were, like, trying to press them high, and it wasn't working, and fuck, we got to get back, and we're just going to stay back. It's, like, you know, I couldn't follow the logic of what the fuck was going on, and it was really infuriating. And obviously, as the match went on, like, you know, you could see after a few minutes in the second half, he threw more on, which was a little bit of a press release foul. But he still didn't change his tactics. And we just got, like you said, Ben, we got kind of lucky that City was a bit profligate and our guys were, you know, having at least a decent day in terms of last-ditch defending.
Yeah, I mean, it was a terrible idea that went very badly and we got very lucky doing it. But boy, Eric Lamella's goal was really nice.
Both of the goals were really nice. Like...
Yeah.
I mean, for 1 second, it was like, ooh, that's some Hollywood football. That's like, you know, Ndombele just like cutting open City's defense. And, you know, Lamella with a great long-range curler. And, maybe that was the idea. Maybe we were expecting to break them open a little bit more like that. But it didn't even seem like we were setting up to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we spent the entire match passing back and forth between, like, Toby and Davinson Sanchez. We had no idea how to progress the ball out of our back line into midfield, let alone further forward. But our only outlet ball seemed to be Moussa Sissoko on the right wing, where, you know, occasionally he would resist the initial challenge and go on a little run.
And then give away an easy pass.
Right. Give away a pass, get tackled, play the ball out of bounds, overhit the ball, whatever Moussa Sissoko does. And it was terrible. I mean, our shape was, again, a flat 4-4-2. So our midfielders were Ndombele and Winks matched up against Gundogan, Rodri, and Kevin De Bruyne. And when we had the ball at our center back's feet, you know, their three midfielders did a very good job of closing down all those passing lanes in the midfield, and the two guys we matched up against their three guys couldn't get on the ball pretty much the entire match. And so the only thing we could do was try and force it up the wings, where, again, they seemed to have numbers on us, you know. And there was no sense of a real plan behind what we were trying to do other than just weather a storm.
To be fair, though, when Pochettino did change it eventually, it's not like it got any better.
We didn't even change
bringing,
it. We just...
bringing Lucas on, so at least there was somebody who could stretch the defense a little bit. And, of course, he immediately scored a goal, but it really had nothing to do with our shape or our tactics or anything. Like, in the run of play, nothing changed. It was just a City training session.
No, we occasionally got up the pitch. We got up the pitch a little bit better because Lucas is fast and can run at people. And that was really the only change. And, you know, we got incredibly lucky in this match. We just somehow broke out and caught City's defense with their pants down. And then, you know, we did a good job on a corner. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes, I mean, it was a consummate Burnley-ing. I mean,
yes. Yeah, well, no, because I think I would argue it was worse because Burnley at least has a fucking plan that they stick to. And I don't know, maybe this was the plan. Maybe we just got away with it. Burnley seems better at doing this shit than we are.
Well, because they do it all the time.
But I mean, they don't give up like, I mean, I guess sometimes they do give up like 30 fucking shots to City. But I feel like teams have played this way against City and not given up 30 shots like we did. I mean, 30 shots, 30-3. That's fucking ridiculous.
I mean, we've played lots of different ways against City, and pretty much all of them have worked better than that.
It was bad. And there were some players, I mean, I don't know. Rob, who do you think was more disappointing, Danny Rose or Christian Eriksen?
Because
I thought they were a real problem in this. Both of them were real problems in this match.
Well, I guess it can't be. I can't say that Eriksen was disappointing, because, I mean...
Can't?
No, because I don't expect a whole lot from a guy who doesn't really even want to be there.
I don't know. He played pretty well last week. I know it's Aston Villa, but like...
It's Aston Villa. I mean, he was bad. Rose...
did not play like a
Rose
guy...
Rose didn't want to be there either. I don't know. But,
I don't know. He did... Danny... Christian Eriksen did not play like a guy who looked like he's ready to get $60 million from Real Madrid. Like, I don't know. I would play a little more fire up my... it's not like determination is what he needed, but it's just... God, he was invisible. I mean, and... The only thing I can think of is that Pochettino had some weird fucking plan about breaking through in transition that relied on Eriksen, and he didn't do jack shit. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense to me when I try to think about it.
No, because...
I mean, Eriksen spent the match stuck out on the left wing,
yep,
defending Kyle Walker. Like, it's not a situation that Eriksen can influence the game from. And
I didn't say it made a whole lot of sense. It's the only thing I can kind of come up with from looking at how
we
set up.
He didn't even have the ball for very much. Like,
right. I mean, yeah, he was awful.
He was sloppy when he had it, but you're right. I mean, it was the same thing with... I see Kane coming under a lot of stick today, and I don't know, there's probably a lot of stuff he could have done better, but, like, Kane never had the fucking ball. I mean...
No, he was awful. He was awful, too. I mean, you know, we were awful because we could not get the ball forward to Harry Kane, but, you know, I mean, normally in a game like this, you see Harry Kane dropping deep, trying to, like, be involved and get on the ball and make shit happen. Like,
oh,
he didn't even do that.
He had Otamendi up his ass the entire game.
But it's weird. I mean, this whole team looked...
It's
really
Otamendi. He's not even good. Like, what the fuck, Harry?
Right, but so he has to come deep to receive the ball. He's got Otamendi sitting on his neck, basically. So all he can really do is play, you know, flicks and leave the ball off to his teammates, but there's nobody within 30 yards of him, except Moussa Sissoko. So I'm not sure exactly what he's supposed to do either. They did a tremendous job of cutting off passing lanes, of marking whoever the outlet was supposed to be, and then of pressing whoever had the ball.
I mean, look, Pep's full of shit, and I hope he goes to coach Qatar for 2022, like, and get out of the Premier League as soon as fucking possible, and then go to Real Madrid. But I think he was right, and he's full of shit, but he was right when he said this is one of City's best performances. I mean, they beat the fucking brakes off of us. And we're real lucky we scored the two goals we did, and we're real lucky they only scored the two they did, because they were just all over us. And like I said, I think Rose was, I mean, this is Danny's worst match I've seen with us in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was worse than Kyle Walker-Peters, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not the fullback I expected to get.
It's not an accident that both goals, the delivery came from his side of the pitch.
Yep.
I mean, the first one, Eriksen, was also very much at fault. I mean, I think everybody has kind of twigged to Kyle Walker-Peters not doing a good job spotting Raheem Sterling making that run to the back post. But if you look at the buildup of that goal, we have Harry Winks and Danny Rose on Bernardo Silva, kind of deep in our left back area, and Eriksen is marking Kevin De Bruyne, and rather than stay on Kevin De Bruyne or even block the passing lane from Bernardo Silva to De Bruyne, he goes to triple team Bernardo Silva and leaves De Bruyne completely open for a simple, you know, laid back pass, and De Bruyne hits a beautiful ball, and I mean.
In Eriksen's defense, when has De Bruyne ever cut a defense open? I mean, that never happened.
Yeah, no, never. And again, in the second goal, it was the same kind of story. Is we got mismatched on the wing. They moved us around with a couple passes and broke down Danny's side and put a ball across the defense that Aguero turned in. You know, I don't think it's an accident that as the game went on, Man City was targeting Danny's side instead of KWP's side, because that's where most of their most threatening attacking moves happen. And you know, I think we haven't seen Danny Rose really be good this summer at all in preseason. He wasn't great against Villa. You know, there's a lot of talk about his responsibility for Villa's goal. And not being aware of his marking responsibilities and not defending a one-on-one very well. And it's concerning to me. You know, we've talked a lot about how our right-back situation is fucked since selling La Liga's best player, Kieran Trippier, to Atletico Madrid. But I'm honestly maybe more concerned about left-back right now because Danny just doesn't look like he's got it.
I mean, Danny's always been kind of a form player for us. It's just, I guess we all sort of assumed at the end of last season that he'd finally gotten his shit together, but I don't know. With all the transfer shenanigans this summer, I guess it's not unreasonable to assume he's gotten his head turned or something.
He just thinks he's a midfielder now. That's a real problem.
That's not good. I mean,
but we have our left back of the future, so...
So, I mean, we actually kind of do. Let's put this in context. Like, how worried are you guys about this game moving forward? I mean, I don't think it's entirely irrational to look at this game and be like, fuck Manchester City. That's never going to go well. We got it wrong. We got out alive. It's a new midfield. Guys are out injured. We're going to be a totally different team by the time we play them again. And Ndombele is going to have more minutes with us. Celso is going to actually be integrated in the team. Dele will be healthy. You know, we're going to look very different the next time we play City. Hell, probably the next time we play a good team, which I guess is Arsenal in about 2 weeks. Is that just rose-colored glasses? How concerned are you about this match in terms of Tottenham's season or looking ahead?
In all seriousness, at full strength, with all of these players integrated, with the lineup that we all want to see, you know, most of the time we probably still lose City away. So, honestly, throw it out, take the point. Is it better to have, like, played really well against them and lost? Or to have absolutely gotten the shit kicked out of us and taken a point in the second game of the season that maybe we'll need later? I don't know. Like, to me, of all of the games, that match, or maybe Liverpool at Anfield, is one where you're just like, whatever. If we get a point out of it, that's cool.
Whatever happens.
It would be nice to not have to actually watch that shit show, but as in terms of results, like, it's the second game of the season. Everybody's on all sorts of weird, different levels of fitness. There's a whole bunch of players who might be leaving. The guys that we signed are not integrated yet. They're not at full fitness or sharpness or whatever. So, like, I don't know. Throw it out. We got a point from the champions in their house. We play Newcastle next week, so we can feel better about it then.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I think a lot of people were down on Aston Villa because we made hard work of it, but, like, that was a battering, a good, comprehensive win from Spurs. And I wouldn't read too much into this in terms of how we are going to play against the rest of the league. My only negative takeaway is that I just thought, even without our signings integrated, you know, even just being the team we were last year, I thought we were better equipped to go toe-to-toe with a team like Man City, even in their own backyard.
You mean just look respectable, is what you mean, right? Yeah.
Right. I thought we would be able to, like, play them a game. And, like, yeah, we might play that game and lose, but, I thought we'd give a good accounting of ourselves, and we didn't. And that's depressing, and, you know.
And you hope, about, like, I mean, the optimistic outlook is we made some sort of bet that we're not able to figure out and got it wrong and just got lucky. And that's what you hope it is. The negative thing is we're dumb as shit against City and we got totally exposed.
Right. It was naive, and I think it was also, you know, kind of from Pochettino, a bit of a surrender from kickoff. Like, the way we set out was not, we're going to play our game, you're going to play your game, and we think we can hang with you. It's, you know, we know you're the better side. We're going to make a tactical adjustment to try and cope. And not only did we not cope, but, like, that tactical adjustment was largely the reason we didn't cope. But
that's my problem with this. I don't mind making a tactical adjustment to play. I don't care how good we are. If we're playing Pep Guardiola, I don't mind doing some funky shit. And I don't even mind if it doesn't work, but I want it to make some level of fucking sense. And this didn't.
Right. And I think, you know, again, like Rob said, the reality is this game and Liverpool at Anfield are really the only games that I'm, like, concerned by over the course of the season. I think anybody else on any turf, like, we will play our game and we will play them well and we're in good shape. But, you know, I expect Pochettino to have better answers for these tough games, especially after, you know, the Champions League gauntlet we went through last year, where he did manage us very well through injury crisis and lots of lack of first choice team players. You know, that's what we were looking at, is a team shorn of Lo Celso, you know, without Ndombele, you know, really, really firing on all cylinders yet, for Tongan in the exile wilderness, no right back.
No Son.
You know, these are the kinds of, you know, no Son, no Foyth. These are the scenarios that we've seen Pochettino manage his way around and get really a lot better at in the last couple seasons. And,
well, especially against Guardiola, who, like, again, I'm not going to get too negative on any coach. I know that's a weird thing to say after the last however many minutes we spent bitching about it. I'm not going to get too negative on any coach for losing to Pep Guardiola. He is probably the best football manager ever. But, like, he knows how to play Pep Guardiola. He's got a long history of playing and figuring out ways to beat Pep Guardiola. And it's a little, like you said, it's just frustrating to see a surrender like that.
And not just surrender. You know, we went into halftime and we were like, well, you know what? Like with Aston Villa, he'll figure it out in the second half. He sees what's happening. We'll do something different and he'll make it work. And he didn't. I mean, he tried it out the same team. We made pretty reactive subs that didn't really change the way we played.
It felt like City made like 20 subs before we made our second sub. It was like,
hey, but yeah. Giovanni Lo Celso played as a right winger.
Hey, at that point, I don't even give a shit. At that point, you're just throwing bodies on to mark people, and it's like, whatever. Lo Celso could run, and so could Skip. And I would like to use better guys than that for that situation, but at that point, I don't have a problem with that. You just want fresh bodies on to block guys, because that's what you're doing at that point. It is what it is.
I won't read anything into this whatsoever, but Lo Celso looked wildly confused and out of his depth playing right wing against Man City.
I don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think we should read anything into Lo Celso's performance because I don't think we're going to ask him to do that ever again. So play that way in that position.
Yeah. No, it was just dumb. So again, I think you can write this game off and say we're still going to play, you know, 18 teams, 17 teams in the league, the way we play, and we're going to mostly beat the shit out of them. But I would like to see better, and I hope when we play Arsenal in 2 weeks, we look a little more confident in how Pochettino wants to play and capable of outmaneuvering them tactically. Because Emery, you know, as shitty as Arsenal signings have been, I mean, not necessarily this summer, but historically, and how unbalanced their team looks, you know, Emery has been a good tactical manager, making changes on the fly, you know, tweaking his team to suit a moment. And I would just like to see that Pochettino is able to handle that better than he did this weekend against Man City.
The world is empty. There is no point to anything, and you're just going to die. So do whatever.
Why worry about what we're going to do against Arsenal, Ben, when the heat death of the universe is just marching forward? Emery got the better. I mean, we'll talk about this more next week, but Emery got the better of us twice last year. I think we were, a little bit fortunate to come away with that second draw, although we did whip his ass in the League Cup, to be fair. But I really want to beat Arsenal after this match, and I'm with you guys. I'm not going to read too much into this. We got it wrong, but it's also, you get it wrong against City. What are you going to do?
If we get a game like this in a month, then...
Well, if you get a game like this against not Manchester City or Liverpool, that's when you start to get a little scared. Like,
right. The reality is that this game should have been a loss, and it wasn't, so we can take that point and move on happy.
I mean, think of the difference between this and, that game against Wolves last year where we barely won it. Or the one – didn't we lose to Wolves once last year too?
Yeah, we got the shit kicked out of us in the second half by Wolves and lost 3-1.
Think about both of those games. You can sort of understand what was going on. There's a thought process there that you can watch, and you can see what we were trying to do and what went wrong. And I don't understand what the fuck we were trying to do in this game. And I guess, you know, usually I'm not having that reaction to a Pochettino game, even if we get beat, even if we get beat bad, like some of those Liverpool games. Where we've gotten our asses kicked. Usually, even then, there's you can sort of see a method to his madness and what he was trying to do. And he's trying to pressure them here, and they did this instead, and it just didn't work. And it's fucking Liverpool. What are you going to do? But, oof.
Right. We weren't set up to press. We weren't set up to counter. I don't know.
We were set up to press, and then we just didn't fucking do it. We had all the players on the field we needed to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the personnel was definitely a press-heavy lineup, but the tactical setup was clearly eschewing pressing for a deep rearguard action, I guess with a hope of countering.
I don't know about you guys. When they put that lineup out, I thought, oh, this is going to be a nasty fucking game. We're going to kick the shit out of them. I thought we were just going to be pressing the ever-loving shit out of them, and Eric Lamela would have to get withdrawn in the 70th minute because he already had a yellow card and 3 warnings. But nope. I mean, Eric Lamela almost probably should have given away a penalty, so that part of it came true. But we'll always have VAR, right?
We will always have VAR.
Literally.
It is the best signing we've ever made.
Oh, man. It's so good. I love it.
We're all getting customized VAR shirts for next week.
Tattoos. We're all getting VAR tattoos. Across our chest. Just.
Oh, yeah. Now suddenly Greg's talking a big game about getting his Spurs tattoo.
Hey, wow. No. We had a bet. We had a bet, and the bet didn't happen. You decided to get a Spurs tattoo anyway. So, you know, that's your fucking problem.
I'm a real fan, not a plastic American.
Exactly,
Each one of us
Ben.
Can get a letter, VAR, and then Brian can get no goal.
I like this idea. Ben, are you in?
I'm in.
Okay.
And Brian's in too.
Okay, good. So we have a game coming up this week. Hopefully it won't go as badly as that City game went. We play Newcastle. It's Newcastle have had an up-and-down year so far. They actually had a respectable effort against Arsenal. I think they were incredibly unlucky to not at least get a point, if not a win, that first week against Arsenal. And then Norwich stomped a mud hole in them and walked it dry last week. So I'm going to guess that Steve Bruce is just Steve Brucing, but what do you guys think? You think this is going to be a tough road to hoe for Spurs, or you think it's we're going to be able to have our way against them?
So the way they've played in both matches is they play a back three with wing backs, but that back three looks much more like a back five. Their wing backs stay very, very deep, and they keep I'm going to butcher this. Joe Linton? Whatever his name is.
Change it every time you say it. Just do it the Wheeler Dealer Radio way. Just different pronunciation every time you say it.
One of them's got Joelinton.
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 Joe.
He's not Jamaican.
He is Jamaican.
He is now, Rob. If Kofi Kingston can be Jamaican, so can he.
So Jafiel at striker for Newcastle, and Miguel Almiron, he of Atlanta United fame, basically play very, very alone up top, waiting for counter opportunities with no support from anyone else on their team. And against Arsenal, you know, it seemed like a reasonable setup to try and steal something, but they played the exact same way against Norwich and just let them batter them. Their defense was poorly organized. You know, their midfield still contains Jonjo Shelvey, which is not a recipe for success. I mean, this Newcastle side is just not good. And that's the reality of it. And if they concede 3 goals to Norwich, I think they should be in for a world of hurt against Spurs this weekend.
Good thing Dr. Tottenham's on his way.
You know. But Newcastle are very bad. And we should have a comfortable win here.
I tell you what's not going to happen. Pochettino is not going to be outcoached by mystery novelist Dave Bruce.
But what if their keeper plays out of his mind against us?
Well, that's something different. I'm pretty sure that's not on Steve Bruce's whiteboard.
I think it might be, actually.
Keeper, have a worldie.
I mean, that's the kind of tactical instructions Steve Bruce gives, so it's entirely possible that, you know, it sticks, and Martin Dubravka or whoever's playing goalkeeper for Newcastle this week.
Tim Krul just like pop out of the ground. Like a gopher.
Well, Tim Krul's on Norwich, and ironically,
it's not going to stop him, Ben. He's going to pop up and ruin my fucking afternoon.
Probably.
So, do you guys think we're going to see Lo Celso start, or at least have a more integrated role into the team? I mean, he has only been with us for about a week. And I think, like I said, he was only brought in to sort of be a warm body on fresh legs against City. So do you think we're actually going to see him sort of integrated, playing out a little bit like how we hope to have him play?
I don't think so. Well, I think it's going to depend on Eriksen. If Eriksen is heading for the door, then he might take his spot. But I think if it's between like him and Sissoko in midfield, plus, you know, loves Sissoko, and I think we're going to see Sissoko and Winks and Dembele out there once more.
But also, if Walker Peters is playing again, you probably are okay with Sissoko protecting him.
He has literally nothing to protect them against. Newcastle are very bad. They played Matt Ritchie as a wingback. It's not good. He's not a defender. He's not anything. But you also have to remember we have Heung-Min Son back from suspension next week. And so I think that at least will shake things up a little bit for us.
Ben, you're not worried about your boy, your Newcastle boy?
I'm not, and it makes me very sad. I love Miguel Almirón so much.
Is he being used poorly, or is he just not good?
Well, so he's not being used poorly, so to speak. So Rafa Benitez made him play, like, as a winger when he is easily a better number 10 or at the very least, like, a shuttling free eight. And Steve Bruce at least plays him behind the striker. The problem is the way they play is Almirón chases long balls into the corners and hopes he can find the striker 2v however many defenders are back there. And that's just not a recipe for anything good to happen. They really have no support for their striker. Their three midfielders play very deep. Their wingbacks play very deep. And it's just the two of them on their own trying to make a go of it. So, yeah, something good might happen for Newcastle, but they do not play in a way that scares me at all.
Should I read the stats from the Norwich-Newcastle game again?
Please
do.
As
I did before we began recording.
Put it into context of what this game was like for Newcastle.
Sure. Norwich, mind you, at home, outshot Newcastle 15-12, but had 8 shots on target to Newcastle's 4. Norwich had 64% of the possession, doubled the number of passes, had an 87% pass accuracy. Oh boy. That's something. That would be 603 passes to 336 for Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, they got absolutely battered.
They let a guy named Pookie have a hat-trick.
Yeah, man. Timu Pookie is the new best striker in the Premier League. Topping all the charts.
So
4 goals in 2 games. I mean.
So we're 2 games in. We're 2 games into the season. I think it's time to draw some definitely accurate conclusions about the league and where it's going. How are you guys feeling about our competition in the top 4, top 6? Arsenal clearly better than us based on results, right, Ben?
Yeah, not at all. I mean, I think I think we'll finish second this season. I don't think Liverpool is as good as they were last season. They're suddenly contending with an injury crisis.
You hate to see it. You just
where they were immune from injury last season. I mean, their goalkeeper already injured himself week 1, and the goalkeeper they picked up as a free agent right before the season started, Adrian, has not been good. He gave away a goal to Southampton this past weekend, and Southampton were unlucky not to equalize late in the game. They really haven't looked good. And I think, you know, last season, Liverpool, by the numbers, played about an 85-point season and ended up racking up 97 points because everything went right for them. They had no injuries. They got very lucky. Mohamed Salah, you know, can dive with impunity and get penalties all day. But now VAR's in town, and we know what a fierce sheriff that VAR is.
Oh, God. You think VAR got a bad rap this weekend? Wait till a call goes against Liverpool. I mean,
yeah, man.
You know,
it's going to be amazing.
Journalists are going to, like, completely fill their diapers when that happens. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we're going to be better than last season. I think Liverpool are going to be worse than last season. Chelsea look a mess. United look a mess.
Can I just say, I want to talk about Chelsea. I want to talk about Chelsea for just a second before we go through the whole thing. Everyone, Lampard, from fans and journalists alike, I mean, other Spurs fans, we talk about in the writers' room, I thought he got way too much credit coming into this year. I don't know. I was very skeptical for what little I watched of him at Derby. I thought he was going to have a tough time of it this year, and I think he's a bad result away from a little mini crisis there at Chelsea. I am really unimpressed by Chelsea so far this year.
Yeah, they haven't been great.
I think they actually deserve a lot of credit. for how well they sold this plan. Nobody batted an eye at, well, we've got a transfer ban, so we're going to sell Bagel Boss Eden Hazard. Our kids, and we're going to hire this Chelsea legend over here who has very limited experience and wasn't even that successful, and it'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
No, but
and everyone was like, okay.
Everyone yeah, focused on, cool. Everyone was like, oh, if Chelsea have problems, it's going to be because they're shorthanded because they can't, you know, they can't buy anyone and they got to blood all these kids. And it's like, no, the problem is anyone who's like changed the lineup at halftime in FIFA could probably outmanage Frank Lampard. I maybe his like legend status at Chelsea is going to carry him through the year and they'll give him another chance next year. And that's not typically how we've seen Chelsea react, but I don't know. I'd be very worried if I was a Chelsea fan right now.
But it's a great setup for him because he has this built-in excuse.
For when he ends up at Norwich in like 2 years or Reading.
But literally, you gave me no players, which every manager says, but in this case, it's actually true.
But it's not a pro. He has all the. I don't know if any manager is going to take this Chelsea team into the Champions League, but I don't know. I feel like a better manager would have a better shot at this because they have some decent players. It's just. I thought what happened to him against – I thought what Leicester did to him was very instructive about what's going to happen to him this year. They changed it up, took Chelsea completely out of that game. It's – man, I think Lampard – I mean, I love to see it. It's going to be great to watch. I hope it lasts all season. I hope they have a little mini relegation crisis. I hope this goes on and on and on. But, man, I think they're in for a rough year.
I don't know. If Abramovich is now kind of an absentee landlord. I don't know who's pulling the trigger on firing Frank Lampard.
Bagel Boss?
Well, it's not like they have, you know, anybody who can legally drink yet. So who's going to lead the player revolt? Pedro? I mean, he has the mustache for it, but he doesn't strike me as a movie villain.
I don't know. I guess we'll see how much Pulisic learned from Michael Bradley. Yeah, that was a good joke. Ben, what do you think of Arsenal?
Well, I think Ceballos is the second coming of Zinedine Zidane, so Jesus I'm very concerned. Christ. I mean, that's really amazing. He had two assists against Burnley, and Arsenal fans are treating him as the second coming. Like, he had a fine game. But that's, I mean, Lamella had a goal and assist against Man City, which is way harder opposition. And we're not talking about him like, well, we are. We're talking about him like he's the best player to ever live. So,
yeah. It's really concerning when you think, it's really concerning when you think of all the years he's going to be at Arsenal tormenting us.
All the months.
Yeah, those two. I meant this
he's
year and next
player.
Year. He is a good player. He's also not going to be at Arsenal after this year.
No, he should probably be in Real Madrid's midfield this year.
Well, good thing but, they don't have a psychopath you know. As their manager.
Yeah, so, I mean, Arsenal are better than they were. I mean, David Luiz is an improvement over Mustafi and Socrates and Rob Holding and whatever other morons they were throwing out there at center back. You know, Kieran Tierney and Bellerin are still hurt, but, you know, they have good fullbacks if they get fit.
Which will definitely happen.
Hell yeah, any day now. Yeah, I'm not worried about Arsenal. Arsenal are fighting for that fourth spot. I think it's pretty comfortable that Man City, Spurs, and Liverpool will finish top three, and then everybody else between Chelsea, United, Arsenal, Leicester, Everton, Wolves are all fighting out for that fourth spot. I mean, I think those teams are, you know, we've seen now Leicester play Wolves and Chelsea to a draw, and Wolves play Leicester and United to a draw. Like, those teams seem much more on par with each other than they seem on par with us and Liverpool and City. I am not concerned about finishing top four this season. Maybe that's naive. I don't know. But I think
I mean, I don't think we've seen much. Ceballos has looked fine. I think he's, you know, I think there's reasons to be encouraged about him if you're an Arsenal fan. But I don't know. I hear people talking about how much better, like, Aubameyang's been this year. I don't know. He still looks like the same fucking striker he was last year for Arsenal. Pretty good. Not giving as much assistance as he could. Their defense is still a big fucking problem. I think their defense is going to be a real fucking problem with the way Newcastle is playing him. Obviously, that was the first game of the year. But, you know, when they start playing better teams, it's going to be a challenge for him, I think. And I don't know. I haven't seen anything so far this year that has maybe revised my preseason opinions, other than maybe Liverpool look a little bit weaker than I thought they would be. But it's still too early to even say that with any confidence.
I'm confident. Arsenal sucks.
Yeah, it's always a nice thing to rely on.
Arsenal sucks, but they're probably better than Chelsea and United.
Well, so far that certainly looked true. United is, I don't know.
United is going to be a mess. We know that Chelsea is a mess. Arsenal are their usual messiness, but are probably better than they were last year. So,
yeah, I mean, if I had to pick a team for top four, I would pick Arsenal over the chasing pack. But
you wouldn't pick Wolves over them?
I wouldn't. Just Wolves just don't have the depth, and they're playing in the Europa League, which we know is kind of a squad killer over the course of a season, and they're very thin. You know, they have their first-choice team, a couple of backups, Adama Traore, but I just don't think they're deep enough to really push Arsenal for fourth. I think they might push someone for sixth, but I think fourth is a bridge too far this season for them. Leicester, however,
are managed by Brendan Rodgers.
I mean, Brendan Rodgers is not a bad manager. He almost won the league with Liverpool. I mean, kind of, yeah. Like, I think Brendan Rodgers is a good manager who has done well pretty much everywhere he's been. Like, yes, he had some hiccups at Liverpool, but he also had a very, very strong title-chasing team at Liverpool.
Yes, I actually think Brendan Rodgers is a good manager. He's just a total weirdo.
Yeah, I mean,
and Leicester have a lot of very good players. They've been buying players we should have bought for like two or three seasons in a row.
Yeah, they're right back. They also, and they're midfielder.
They also sold Maguire and didn't replace him, and their
only
real reliable striker is 80-year-old Jamie Vardy.
Well, I mean, they have Jamie Vardy, who, despite his age, hasn't really lost a step, and like his whole game is based on speed, and that still seems to be there. You know, they have Kelechi Iheanacho waiting in the wings, who looked like a really good player when he was at Man City. And I know he hasn't looked like a good player at all since he's been at Leicester, but, you know, if he absolutely needs to step into the breach, I don't think it's an impossible task. They signed Iose Perez from Newcastle this year, who I think is very good, or at least decent enough. I mean, you know, he's better than Jesse Lingard, who Manchester United are starting every week. You know, he's better than Mason Mount and Pedro, probably. You know, then they got Tielemans and Madison in midfield, who are two great midfielders who we should have signed and didn't.
And Ndidi is a very good midfielder as well. Their midfield is excellent, and I'm really not looking forward to playing them. Their defense, I don't trust. And
well, I mean, Ricardo Pereira leads the league in tackles already this season. I mean, we know he's good, and, you know, Spurs were considering signing him before we didn't, and then signed Serge Aurier instead, and that looks like a mistake. Ben Chilwell, left back, is very good. You know, they do start Johnny Evans every week, which is kind of insane. But Maguire's replacement is the Turkish guy, Soyuncu, who, you know, looks like he could be a good player. I don't think
Christian Pulisic is a low bar, Ben.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a great gif, but it's a low bar.
It's true. But, like, you know, again, I think Leicester are strong around the pitch, and their attack is very good. And, you know, again, Arsenal start Socrates or Mustafi at center back, and we're talking about them for top four. So, you know, how bad is Leicester's defense really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the context of a top five race, were Leicester to finish fifth, I don't think anyone would really be shocked. There's just a lot of teams to cram through that doorway.
No, absolutely. But I think that the chasing pack this season is good enough that teams like United and Chelsea, who seem to have clear vulnerabilities, are going to drop more points to more teams than they have in the past. And I think that top six race will be interesting. I think we're pretty insulated from it, but it's still, there's a lot more games that I don't want to play this season than last season.
Yeah, I have a hard time, and I have a hard time seeing, I think those are all good teams, but like you said, Ben, between Wolves in the Europa League, what's going on at United and Chelsea, and just, I don't know, like, Leicester not replacing Maguire, they got some holes like you guys were talking about. Unless Arsenal just hits a massive injury crisis, which, you know, is definitely possible, I see them edging those teams out.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if we're playing it safe, Arsenal for top four is probably what's happening.
Ugh.
Which is a shame, because they seem to have gambled a lot on this season, paying a lot for David Luiz, paying a lot for Ceballos on loan. You know, they're still holding on to Aubameyang despite his increasing age. You know, they really put all their eggs in finishing top four this season and hoping to kind of retool after that. And if they miss top four, I think they're in a really, really bad financial situation, which would be hilarious.
You'd really hate to see it.
You would hate to see it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. And I think what's a real shame is I think Chelsea with a good coach could really push them. But I think Lampard's going to drop a ton of points because he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. And I don't know. Like, Arsenal versus Chelsea, let them fight. Who gives a shit? Like, it's not like... I guess I'd rather see Chelsea get in just because, like you said, I think it could be a real disaster for Arsenal in a way that it just wouldn't for Chelsea. But, yeah. I mean, you know. Alien versus Predator, I guess, for fourth. Hopefully Leicester can pull it out or something like that, and then Brendan Rodgers can act like he won the league. In any event, it's time to wrap it up. Ben, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at ComradeUSpurs, and you can find me on Tumblr at Brett Rainbow.
Always good to know. Robert, where can people find you on the inner tubes?
I am Reno Wallabout on Twitter.
Anything else to add?
I'm not Brett Rainbow.
Okay. And you can find me on Twitter.com at SkipJack0079. And, of course, you can find me on LinkedIn under the name Brett Rainbow. Now, for Ben Daniels, for Reno Wallabout, and for myself, and, of course, for Brett Rainbow, thank you very much, and come on, you Spurs.